What we want to talk about tonight is expectations and just the power of expectations. Okay, so expectations are beliefs about the way things will be or should be, including behaviors, roles, life, death, relationships, and really anything. Right. So we've got an expectation for just about anything under the sun. When you walked in here tonight, you had an expectation about what kind of snacks were going to be out at the table, what kind of music was going to be sung, and how you're going to be greeted. Okay, and then the whole night will be just kind of a recentering and going, well, was my expectation met or not? But we've got expectations about just about everything under the sun. Okay, and so you can think tonight when we think about expectations, both just kind of in the big term, the macro expectations, just about marriage in general. So how did I think my marriage was going to go? How did I? What am I thinking about 20 years from now when the kids are out of the house? You know, those kind of big issues, all the way down to just kind of some of the sand that gets in our gears of marriage. You know, what are we going to do this weekend? Or this is how I thought you were going to pick up after yourself, and you haven't. You know, all these kind of little transactions in marriage. We've got expectations about the macro and the micro. Okay, and here's the deal. The reason why it's so important is that expectations that aren't met will kind of go through this. They'll go through this continuum. We will, as we experience them. First, we'll be sad. There'll be sadness. Then there'll be disappointment. Then there'll be frustration, and there'll be anger if we don't deal with them. Okay, expectations are a really big deal, right? Anytime our expectations aren't met, we always kind of start with sadness. And then if they continue to build up over time, we move to being pretty angry about it. It was really interesting. I think I've shared this in here before, but the first time we did re-engage, we kind of did some 8-week pilots, and we just kind of put the feelers out, and it wasn't advertised to anybody. And it was uncanny that I would say probably 90% of the people had been married seven to 8 years that were in there and saying, hey, we could use some help. Because here's what happens oftentimes, this continuum that we've talked about. It takes about 2 years to figure out that there was the big bait and switch in marriage, right? You didn't date, your spouse. You kind of dated their PR department, right? And you wake up and you're like, dude, well, that was a good job, but I'm frustrated, right? That's not what I thought I was getting. And so that's the universal experience, okay? It'll take about 2 years. And so then we kind of, one or two things will happen. One, we'll kind of, we'll reset expectations, talk it through, and go, you know what, you're just not superhuman. You've got sin struggles, and here's how I think you could grow, but I'm going to reset my expectations, vice versa. Or you can kind of hold out hope that they will change, right? That maybe it was a bad luck, bad 2 years. You still picked the right person. He's still going to be the guy you thought he was going to be. She was going to be the person that you thought she would be. And so you go to about year 7, right? And now you've kind of woken up to the deal and go, you know what? He or she is not going to change. And I'm not sad anymore about it. I am ticked off, right? That's a pretty common experience. The whole 7-year itch that you've talked about, okay, that is often talked about, and really so much of what's going on there is just a matter of expectations, right? Expectations weren't met. There was sadness that wasn't dealt with and led to anger. They're really, really important. It's really interesting. We looked at a marriage ministry of a church we really respect, and that expectations was like the thing. That was the centerpiece of everything they did. Pre-married, newlyweds, kind of helping distressed couples. They were just like, expectations was the thing, and everything else just kind of fit around it, you know. And we wouldn't agree that's probably the thing, but expectations are a big deal. And we've got to learn how to deal with them, how to navigate them, and how to have conversations when they're not being met. Okay, there's a great verse, Proverbs 13:12 says, a longing fulfilled is a tree of life, but a hope deferred makes a heart sick, right? So anytime our longings, our desires, our expectations are met, there's just something about us, man, that is just excited. There is life there, right? And when our expectations are not met, or they're put off, they're deferred, it makes our heart sick. My little daughter, I was trying to figure out how to share this tonight. We'll see what comes out. So she's been saving up for an iPod Touch. Okay, we're trying to navigate. We're not sure what to do with the Wi-Fi settings on that. If we're gonna let a 9-year-old have internet, you know, unfiltered, probably a bad idea. So, but we're trying to figure out how to navigate that. So she saved up Christmas and birthday, and I'll be doggone if she didn't get, you know, all of it. And so we looked on eBay a little bit. You know, I remember she would hit me every night. Hey, Dad, do you think there's something in our price range? And we'd look, and I'd go, yeah, probably gonna need a little bit more. So she waited and she waited and she waited, kept saving up, and so we finally, you know, got online, ordered it, and every day she'd come home. Man, and she wanted to know where that package was, you know, moving from California all the way to Dallas, and she wanted to know what city it was, knew when it was coming, you know, like the time window. So pick her up from school, hey, is my iPod Touch here? You know, so we'll go home and see. And poor girl got home, and it's the UPS sticker, you know, we'll be back tomorrow, sign here, or pick it up, you know, you're so bummed. I said, hey, you know what, it's a big deal, we'll go to the place, and we'll get it. And she was just so... She was so excited about this little thing, you know, and I thought, if we get over there and there's a mix-up, you know, or they sent it to the wrong place, she's going to be crushed, you know. And it was there, and she was happy, and led to a good conversation. I think anytime our kids get something they've been waiting for that they are sure is going to give them life, we talk about that on the front end. Hey, how long do you think this is going to make you happy? You know, they're kind of wise to the game. Probably about a month tops. Yeah, that's right, right? You know, and just tell them, hey, stuff will not bring long-term joy, you know. But anyway, just to watch her go, her hope was so built up to get this thing, and she got it, and just how happy she was. That's what it looks like when expectations are met. And then conversely, there's pretty intense emotions when our expectations are not met. And I think a lot of us really kind of know what that feels like, okay? So, what I want to do, first I want to talk about kind of where expectations come from for a second, some of the ways we handle them poorly, and then what we can do kind of a better way, okay? So I think it's really important to realize where our expectations kind of come from, that they really come from a myriad of sources. So part of the trick is to chase them back and go, where did that come from? Is that right, good, or true? I have that expectation, but what's the genesis? What's the source of it? So a big one for a lot of us is our family of origin. Right, just the way we saw our moms and dads either be married well or not be married well. And forget their marriage, just what was normative, who did what around the house in terms of chores, how money was handled, how holidays were handled, cars, the whole bit, right? Those are the expectations we brought into marriage, and a lot of times that's what we think is going to be the case in our own marriage. I think all of us have those stories, right, where that wasn't the case. When I was in grad school, we had a little house, a couple kids, and I remember between the kind of the kitchen and our bedroom was a pretty big hall, and walked by one day and there was a box kind of sitting there, and I really didn't think that much about it. And the next day, a couple other days, there's like more and more boxes kind of sitting there in the hallway, to the point where it became difficult to kind of get through the get through the hall. And I was like, hey, babe, what's the deal? Like, what the boxes here, man? Like, obviously, that's probably not the best storage area in our house. And she said, well, I'm waiting for you to put them in the attic, right? We had a little pull-down attic that was in the middle of this hallway. And I just said, well, you're waiting for me to put them in the attic? She goes, yeah, that's what you do. That's what the guys do, the attic, you know? And I was like, what are you talking about? And so we had the conversation that in Pam's family, when something went up or down out of the attic, her dad did it, right? And so there was this little bitty kind of, he had to be a kind of a contortionist to get in and out of this thing. It was a long, long ladder. I remember seeing it at her old house, and dad would go up there and do his thing. And so if you wanted anything to be put back up in the attic, you put it there at the bottom where the stairs would come down, and, you know, dad, like, you know, magically would make it appear up there. And if you wanted anything out, you just let your request be known, and it would come back down, right? Well, in my family, if you wanted something in the attic, you went and got it yourself. And then when you were done, you better put it back, you know? And so that was, we just had two differing expectations about how the whole attic thing was going to go. Never had voiced them. Neither one of them was right or wrong. We just hadn't talked about it. And so it was really funny. We just laughed and, you know, and she said, well, obviously, I guess that makes sense. It doesn't matter who puts it up. And I was like, I can do that. You know, attics, that's within my skill set. I can go up and down. That's something I can do, you know. Fixing, you know, refrigerators and things like that, we're going to have to call that one out. But we don't have to outsource this one. I can do it. And so in our marriage and our family, I'm the attic guy, up or down, you know, and the kids like to get up there with me, okay? So, but it's that's a family of origin issue. issue. And the way we talk, the way we handle conflict is a classic one, right? People that yell and scream and get it all out of their system, and people that would never, ever rock the boat. We bring that in. We bring it into our marriages, okay? Other relationships, I think we get our expectations about how marriage is going to go from other relationships we've had. And so oftentimes, if trust has really been broken repeatedly in relationships, it's our expectation a lot of times that that's going to show up again in our marriage, right? So fairly or unfairly, that can be an expectation that we bring in, and it makes it hard to move towards oneness with each other. So we've got to understand if other relationships play into that. Our society, just kind of, you know, what we perceive as society saying what's a good marriage, and our friends, right? A lot of times what we perceive our friends' marriages to be or not be, we build our expectations off of that. And again, we don't really play off of what is true in other people's relationships, just what we perceive to be true. Oftentimes we start to build expectations about that. One time I sat with a couple, and she was just giving her husband the what for, because he was not, he didn't engage the children the way that she thought he should. And didn't have kind of control of the family, and didn't have these magical moments that she really expected, you know, her husband to have. And I said, "What? I mean, I think those are all good things. Tell me how you kind of came to get that expectation." She said, "Well, don't you remember when Todd Wagner's a senior pastor here at Watermark, when he shared the story of he and his family at the fireplace?" And I remembered what it was. And he went on to share, it was about fire and how fire was both good and bad. And he just tells a story that he and his family, he's like, we love to sit around the fireplace. We love to build fires, sit around, talk about things that matter, have hot chocolate and laugh and tell jokes. And, we love fire. The point wasn't really about the fireplace or his family experience. It was just kind of an interesting side note. And so, but she took that to go, yeah, well, at the Wagner house, I know what happens is every night Todd comes home and they kind of have hot chocolate and they sit down in front of the fire. And then they just talk about Jesus, and Todd leads them, and they probably all sit still and listen to their dad. That's what I want for my marriage, you know? And I was like, girl, I mean, they've got 6 little kids. I don't know what it's like, but I guarantee it's not that. You can't get 6 kids to sit down with a cup of hot chocolate and be still and listen for any length of time. It's not that, okay? And she had taken that, this little picture that was just a soundbite, and said, that's what I want. That's an expectation. And I think it was really kind of unrealistic. But it was what she had heard from someone else or observed from others. And so I think a lot of times we just have to chase back where our expectations come from and really identify them, okay? So here's 3 key problems with expectations. And see if any of these kind of hit you. So one is that we can be unaware of our expectations, okay? So has this ever happened to you? All of a sudden something happens and you get mad, or you're really frustrated, or really sad or agitated, and you don't know why, right? Just out of the blue, something, your spouse comes home and there was an interaction and you're ticked off. A lot of times there was an expectation that we had that we weren't even really aware of until it wasn't met. And then we go, yeah, I had that expectation, it wasn't met, and now I am sad all the way to anger or anywhere in between, okay? And so we have to be, we'll talk about what to do from here, but one of the problems with expectations that oftentimes is that we're unaware, okay? Another one is that oftentimes they're unreasonable. The expectations, that would be an example of this gal here that I talked about, those would be unreasonable expectations. And you guys don't answer out loud, but how many times a week would you like to have sex, right? Okay, your wife probably thinks that's unreasonable. Okay, she probably does. And so, conversely, you know, gals, how many hours a week would you want to sit around and have deep, meaningful conversations? Okay, he's thinking, no way, that's crazy. You know, and you might want that, but that's not normal. People don't do that, right? And so, we have to think about, are our expectations reasonable, right? And one of the unreasonable expectations is that we will always feel madly in love with each other, okay? That's an unreasonable expectation. There will be times, absolutely, and even the best marriages, where you wake up, you roll over in the middle of the night and go, really? Like, that was my best option, you know? Okay? Now, what you do with it from there makes all the difference. Don't say that out loud, by the way. Okay? Pam and I have joked. I mean, we've had that, you know, and you just go, man. And that's not where we live, you know. But that's more true to some of the bumps and bruises and seeing people change and gravity take hold of our bodies and hair falling out and just bad days, cranky with sleep. Like that's the human experience, not to be these passionate soulmates where everything is just intense and amazing all the time. That's unrealistic, okay? And we've got to ask ourselves, are our expectations unrealistic? Another one is that they'll always make me happy. Right, and some of us think that our spouse's job is to make us happy, and we will always be disappointed, always, if that's our expectation. Okay, unaware, unreasonable, and the last one is that they're unspoken, and so guys, our spouses cannot read our minds; they can't. We think they can. We think they should be able to. We think that all the granular detail thoughts we have about the way we want to be loved and related to, they know, and when they don't do them, it's just out of spite, right? They know. He totally knows what I want to you know, what kind of flowers I would like this week and the kind of notes I would like and where I would love to go to dinner. He knows. He's not doing it, right? Odds are we haven't ever said them out loud, and our spouses don't know. Okay, and they're more expectations. A lot of times are more unspoken than we realize. For Pam and I, we were laughing that just plans for the weekend. You know, we come sailing through Friday. We've got soccer games, but what do you do with the other time? Well, generally, come Friday, we've both made our plans for how things are going to go. Neither one of us has shared with each other, and so there's going to have to be a conversation in there. And so we will oftentimes be disappointed or frustrated if we don't start sharing that out earlier in the week. And you know, Pam ran a half marathon this weekend and did a killer job. And so you know, expectations on the upside, we didn't have any conversations about what she expected from me, you know. But we took the kids, and a whole lot more times than she thought. We stopped along the way. We, you know, probably at our you know, a great risk to my children, we were hopping across lanes of traffic, you know, and yelling for mom, and we'd go 3 more miles and 3 more miles and 3 more miles and high five her and things like that. So probably in ways I think that surprised her. And then I kind of gave her, she was sore, I gave her a massage on Monday, and I kind of found out that the expectation was that was going to happen on Sunday, not Monday, you know. And so I mean, she appreciated the massage on Monday, but in her mind, she's like, I just kind of thought that would happen on Sunday. She didn't say anything. I didn't know. It's no big deal. We talked it through. But that'd be an example of unspoken expectations, okay? So here's the better way. Here's the better way to move forward. Okay, we'll do this, and a couple of the thoughts will be done. Number one is just to be aware of what we expect. Okay, to always be asking ourselves, hey, what is it that I'm expecting? If I'm frustrated, why is that? Okay? That's not your spouse's job to somehow, you know, read your soul and figure out what's going on there. It's up to you. It's up to you to be aware of what's going on, okay? Secondly, is just to be reasonable. And so just to ask yourself, next time you've been out of shape about something, is that a reasonable request? Could he or she possibly do that? Are they, you know, in their humanity, could they meet those needs? Could they do those things? Could they be that all those different places at one time? And even if they could, is that a reasonable expectation? And might I just need to be flexible on this one and put someone else's needs above my own and just kind of let this one go? Okay? Never to condone sin. That's not what I'm talking about. But sometimes we're just going to have to go, that's probably unreasonable, and we're going to have to let this one go. Okay? Thirdly, is just to be clear about what we expect and communicate those, okay? So take it to the bank that holidays, it took us probably 7 years, you know, to keep going around this merry-go-round before we figured out, you know what, it'd probably be good before Christmas to talk about what our expectations are, because we tend to take this, you know, this big brood of children up to, you know, different homes, and we both thought things were going to go differently. So we start to communicate about that well before, okay? And we have to speak those things and not just get frustrated with each other. So just, you know, to talk about, hey, this is what I was hoping would happen. These are things that I would love to see. I was, you know, this weekend I thought we would do this, or, you know, one of the things that would be great around the house is if you did X, okay? Just to speak those and not be frustrated or agitated when they aren't meeting our needs, okay? They cannot read your mind. Okay? So a couple thoughts. One is just to talk them through. Okay? When this comes up next, talk them through. You will have unmet expectations very, very soon. Probably tonight when you go home, right? You both have a different idea about the way you're going to spend the last waking hours of the day, okay? And so next time that happens, just say, and it came up yesterday with Pam and I. Just go, hey, was that, tell me how you felt about that, because that was not what I expected. And, she was able to share and I was able to share, and we were able to kind of get a move through that and not, get ugly, get frustrated. We had different expectations about, about some things. And it was okay. We were able to kind of talk them through. Okay, so you've got to talk them through. That even said, there will be, and to know that neither one of us was right or wrong, there was no sin. We just had different expectations. Okay, so make sure you talk them through. That said, there's going to be some times when your expectations are not met. Okay, they will not be met. And you will know of the sickness of a longing deferred, right? You will know what that's like to have your expectations not met. It's going to happen, okay? And one of the things I'd encourage you to do in that time is just to remember that your hope is squarely and solely in Christ, right? Solely in Christ, not in your spouse. Your spouse is not deity. They are human. They will fail you. There's only one person who will never fail you. And we've got to learn, and in our pain, in our disappointment, in our sorrow, anger, to turn to Christ and remember that we're so grateful for our salvation that He will never let us down, right? So the whole story of the Old Testament is, in effect, a story of people being let down, all their hopes being dashed. And chief among them is 2 Samuel 11. And that's a story of David and Bathsheba, right? So generally when we hear that story preached in churches, we talk about avoiding sexual sin and temptation, adultery, all good things to talk about, okay? But as I read the story of the kings, what I see over and over and over again is Israel gets its hopes up that this is finally going to be the one. The kingdom's going to come. Everything that God said He would do, He's going to do. And this is our man. He's the guy. All these other kings, they didn't get it. But this guy does. And he's going to see us through. Everything we long for and hope for is going to come to pass because of this guy. And their hopes were dashed. Their hopes were dashed when David fell. Their hopes were dashed with Solomon. On and on and on and on it goes. Because there was only one that was yet to come that would not fail them. Okay? And so a verse that a friend read when she shared her testimony 2 weeks ago, it's meant a lot to me since, is Psalm 73:25. And I just want to put this on your radar. And when I've had disappointments come up, I mean, it's no big deal. But we don't live in the ghetto, but somebody stole our air conditioner straight off of off the back of our house. Pam calls and said, the air conditioner's gone. I was like, what? She's like, gone. I was like, it doesn't work? And she goes, it's gone. It's like, who how does that happen? And the cop said he'd probably get $25 for it. It cost me a heck of a lot more to replace that, I can assure you, than the $25 that guy was going to get. And so this was the verse that I ran to when that happened. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Okay? So there's no desire that I have here on this earth that compares to the desire to be rightly related to God, or just God Himself. There should be no desire. Right, and everything else in my life, my wife will fail me, my children will fail me, my friends, my pastor, my house will break down. Things will disappear and get stolen. Right, and God alone is the portion. He is what fills me up. He is where my hope is. I can enjoy my house. I can enjoy my friendships. I can enjoy my marriage. But when those things don't work, I'm not done for. My hope is in Christ alone. Okay? And that's what I'd encourage us tonight to do, is to begin to kind of talk through our expectations, be aware, be reasonable, be clear about them. And then when they're not met, not to short circuit and blow up, but remember that our hope is only in Christ. Okay? So that is, Pam said today, she goes, that's our deal. That's where we live. Expectations is a big deal. It's a big deal to us. It's a big deal to you. Okay, and so I really encourage you to take next steps to be really good at dealing with expectations.